why this song has been in my head. This is a good song. Have you ever heard this song at a wedding? Really? So you haven't had a lot of friends that got married? Have you ever been proposed to?
No.
No? You never got that far?
In the
far.
I've been dating my
current boyfriend 5 years?
Yeah, so.
Did you guys hear that? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I know. Women crush Wednesday.
Women crush Wednesday. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of guys out there who have a crush. You know, Percy, he's a one of our friends, he's a gay comedian. He goes, boy, I'm...
Oh, right.
If I were to turn straight, she would be my first one. He said that to me.
Good to know. Yeah, I know.
At the Ice House show, and I was like, you know
what?
What
a waiting that night, right?
I think you kind of have that appeal. You're
I mean,
a safe
I'm
bet.
I'm turning all the gay men straight.
Yeah,
days,
you are.
So,
yeah. She goes to West LA, like, yeah. There's a wand, and everyone just becomes straight when she walks through.
Yeah, sorry about it. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. So, wow, 5 years.
5 years, yeah, because I'm in college, so.
Oh, so it's the college sweetie?
College sweetheart, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, like, some of those years were definitely in college relationships, so whatever.
Now, is he, uh-huh. If you don't mind me asking, his background?
Sure, yeah. Well, I talk about this in my set, I think, or maybe okay. I didn't when you were there, but yeah, it was, so he's, like, a white guy. Which
okay.
is a classic mix, I know. But, you know, first, well, I guess 5 years ago, it really wasn't in my radar that that was even a common thing.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately,
wait, what do you mean
a
common thing, like?
Like the Asian female, white male thing.
Do you mean the AFMW?
Yeah.
It's, that's the porno acronym.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know the Reddit subreddit that's, like, very mean is WMAF.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
What is that?
So that's, like...
White male, American female, or...?
Asian female, but it's like, kind of the people who don't approve of that, so they're, like, a lot of angry... Oftentimes, a lot of sons of that combination who are, like, pissed that they...
You know, I just had this conversation with someone who presented facts...
Yeah.
Is that Asian female and white male very high?
Yeah.
Highest in like ranking.
It's like in like marriage.
And guess who's coming up on the map? You won't even know about this one.
No.
Black female, Asian male is
yeah.
the new thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's like rising on the charts.
Sick. Yeah. I think that's a good.
And my ex girlfriend was black.
Yeah. Nice. So you pioneered that.
Yeah, I am. I am the pioneer of black women.
So, yeah.
I'm like the Columbus of Chinese people.
Oh, God. Don't want to be that, but okay.
Yeah. You mean, like, I fucking gave Nigeria Ebola or something? I don't...
Yeah, right.
I guess.
Oh, God. But anyway, yeah, so the... So this guy, yeah, I've been dating for a while. So anyways, we were on this topic because, yeah, I haven't been to a lot of weddings. But I'm not really, like, I guess some people maybe are getting engaged around now, but they're a little older than me, so.
Okay.
So, because I'm 24.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised you even put your age out.
Fuck.
No, I'm like, no. Here's, you know what I realized? You put your age out because you're 24.
Right.
But if a girl goes like, oh... You never should, because you're 42. You're like old. You don't want to disclose.
Sure.
Older women never want to disclose the age. But I noticed, like, my 20-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I obviously, like, I don't.
Wow, 24. You're hella young.
I don't lose a lot.
Holy crap.
Right. Oh, no. I mean, so, yeah. Not a ton of weddings.
Super. No, like, oh, that. Uh-huh. For this. Okay, she's so mature. I thought you'd be in your 30s. Not how you look.
No, that's fine.
But your swagger is like 30.
Oh, fuck. That's such a compliment.
You got 30 swagger.
I aim to... Well, so one of my friends was like, you have to walk into the room like you're 35, no matter what age you are. So I was like, okay.
Okay, so do you do that? Do you act 35?
I mean, not consciously, but I think there is a part of me that's like, I can't come off too young anymore, because it's kind of like, it really does... turn people off if you're like, I'm not confident, you know, like, mm-hmm. especially if you're a comedian, like, the whole thing is confidence.
And kind of how long have you been doing comedy?
I guess, like, on and off, but I mean, not, when I say on and off, I didn't do it that frequently when I was in school, because I was in school, but I guess I started 8 years ago.
8 years,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, but, wow, so you started, now
but,
that
you know,
I know your age.
Right, around 16.
Freak!
You
know why? Okay, guys, uh-huh. I have to watch myself, because I work with schools. So
oh, okay.
all my bad habits have now been like, shut the front door.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
But it's what's whack is these kids are bad. Like, I walked into a conversation with two girls talking about cum.
What age are they?
Not like 11 and 12.
Oh my god.
And I'm sitting there and I went to the other coach.
Clutching
I go,
my pearls. Uh-huh.
I go, coach, am I supposed to intervene?
Like, sure, yeah. Like
he's like, I don't know, that's a tricky one. Like, maybe if you, if they're just saying it too loud, and maybe you could make them, you know, you could say something like, girls, you want to discuss this with everyone out loud or something?
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, I wouldn't want to put them on the spot.
Sure, sure.
So one girl didn't know what cum was.
Okay. That's
and
okay.
So the other girl had to be like, your dad, it's what your dad...
You, she brings it in the context of her father. Yes. That's how
it's
she...
It's how your dad... It's what you... I forgot. It was something along from,
true,
like, it came from your dad. That's you. Like,
yeah, yeah. That is true.
And the homegirl's like, what? And I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah. I didn't hear any of this.
That's complicated.
I am walking away.
I could definitely walk away in that scenario.
That was
as
a
well.
Very, like, like Parks and Rec moment.
That is funny.
So
yeah.
16 years old. Wow. Like, so how does that, you just, how did you want to, did you just want to do it? Like,
wanted to do it. Yeah. I think it was like around that time.
Were you a comedy fan at like 12?
I was, but probably subconsciously, like more in the sense that I think I always enjoyed watching funny things and my family was funny and my, we collectively, I think, always respected funny people, you know,
okay,
and
okay.
thought that that was a skill or thought it was something valuable.
That's
you know?
Great.
So
that's really...
already, you're partway there. But then, I think around 16, I got cable and I like hadn't had cable before. So then I like binge watched all
the comedians.
Yeah. All like Comedy Central and like,
no. Okay. So do you have any favorites, like major influence?
Well, at the time what was interesting is like Amy Schumer was coming up. She wasn't big, but she was like, she had her half hour special and like would be considered somebody who, you know, maybe around right now, maybe like, I don't know, like a, maybe not her, but like, I don't know, maybe somebody who had just gotten like a late night set or somebody who had just gotten on Netflix 15 or something like that sort of level. Right. And so that was really inspiring. And then I liked Sarah Silverman, and I think, like, whoever else around that time. I think also, like, Shang Wang had his half hour around that time, too, maybe?
Shang Wang?
Shang Wang, yeah.
I didn't even know he had a special. Have you done a show with him?
I have, yeah, out here.
Okay.
In recent memory, I think. But yeah, and I think he's getting back into it because he was, like, writing for a while.
So 8 years, you just... Okay, so tell me about your first time. Like, how does that
come about? Ooh, I went to Flappers. So that, I think Burbank Flappers was
you did it in here in California.
Yeah, because I'm from out here.
Oh, yeah. So this whole time I'm thinking you're from Boston or something.
So I, like, you went lived to, there. Yeah, I went to school out there.
You went
like,
to what school? What, do you mind telling us what school?
Oh, yeah, I can, I just want to make sure.
You went to community college, right?
I went to Harvard.
Okay.
So that's
She went to Harvard.
That's what I came here to say, and now I'm gonna leave.
That's it. We're done.
But I'm from out here. So
you graduated from Harvard.
I did.
In what? What's your major?
Computer science.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Get it.
Unrelated. My grandma lives in Monterey Park, so she's very close
to here.
And my whole family grew up out here, so.
In Monterey. Oh, so you...
My mom grew up out here.
So you have had very good dim sum most of your life.
Ugh, amazing dim sum.
You know what? It's sad is I travel a lot, and I always get those guys like, yo, you gotta try this, you know. Not to diss, you know, Ohio for, you know, their restaurants.
Yeah.
But I live in Monterey Park,
dude.
Sure,
this is the
capital,
I would say, right?
There's nothing that's Chinese that's gonna impress me. You know why? Because we have different... provinces of food here. We have Yunnan and, you know, Shenzhen and Guangzhou and like when you go down to the cities that are like, you know, for Chinese people it's like it gets serious, right?
Sure.
You know, the spices start to change.
Oh, and, yeah, it's completely different.
You know?
Yeah.
So when I go to the other states and they're like, you know, you gotta try the dim sum here.
It's like just Chinese food.
I have that arrogance, that Monterey Park like
arrogance,
you know.
No, so, that's fair. It is.
So they all live here. You come from Harvard, then you...
Then I moved back home.
You moved back home. Yeah, so you were here, and then you went to Harvard.
I was here.
How long does it take to graduate Harvard? 8 years? 4 years?
No, just like a four-year college, like any other. Yeah, 4 years.
And did you get a... Did you hear about that thing, and you heard on other podcasts about, like, they're rejecting more Asians
because
they're getting in?
Yeah, that's been, like, a thing. Yeah, well, so they're, like, suing them now, but, like, for a while there was sort of this, you know.
So now it's a real thing with them suing them.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, like, because that, I think...
That's hella racist, dude. Really, you're too smart, and we can't,
like... I mean, yeah, like, I, you know, I don't know too much about it, but I had friends who worked in, like, the admissions kind of... You could work in admissions as a student, too, and, like, see the other side of it, because it's, like, all my friends, too, it's, like, we're all... who I went to college with, it's, like, kind of hard because we all are... benefiting from this, from how it works now, so we can't necessarily be like, oh, it's flawed system, because we're like there already.
Yeah,
but you know, like, you would talk about it with my friends, and like we would try to be like, yeah, I mean, there's obviously some,
well, guess what, here. I guess they let you in, so,
well, yeah, I know, so I feel like I'm, you know, I feel like I'm kind of on the wrong side of the debate, because it feels like, yeah, oh, I guess it worked, so it's fine, like, guys, I made what are you guys it. Talking about, but, you know, of course, there's totally issues there, and, like...
So, did you do, okay, so my Harvard story is, my ex-girlfriend's sister graduated with an architecture degree.
Oh, no way, uh-huh.
And then she just sat at home all day, and I'm like...
After?
Well, yeah, there's this Harvard plaque, and I'm like, what does your sister do? She's an architect, well... What it, I was like, can I see her portfolio? Oh, she doesn't. And I'm like, well, what does she do? Oh, she just chills and. Well, like, what the fuck? Did she do it for the plaque? Like, you know? Mm-hmm. So did you do something with the degree?
Yeah, I mean, not really. Like, I don't, that's not too far from my situation. No, like, so here's the thing. It's like, obviously, you know,
But that's the sickest, like, academic bragging right, right? Like,
I mean, yeah, Harvard, no, I mean, out here, it does care. among Asians, too, like,
that's like thug life
carry it with us. College, yeah, bro. It's like, I don't know how to feel about it, because I don't think I necessarily, like,
deserve. So tell me, do your parents brag about it all the time? Like, you went to Harvard. Like.
Oh, I mean, they try to keep it. I don't know, maybe they do. I'm not around them when I'm not with them, right? So who knows what they say when I'm gone. But, no, I don't know. It's such a privilege to go, whatever, right? Like, it's a ridiculous place.
So I'm done, okay? I'm like,
you're not done.
Borderline college dropout, like, that's failed high school, bribed the teachers. I don't even know what computer science means. Like, is it a science of a computer? Like, what?
I mean, yeah, basically. It's a lot of coding. It's a lot of...
So it's Java? It's, like, the coding stuff?
Oh, yeah. So, like, you know, coding stuff. I would say it's a lot of, you know, learning shit that the underlying, like... I mean, look, I'm also not using it, so I'm not the right person to ask. But I would say, yeah, it's kind of like learning how to do all that stuff, but without...
So you can build a... Can you make a virus?
They didn't teach us how to do that in school, but I guess I could know how to do that. Like, I think what school does, or whatever, what computer science schooling does, is, like, gives you the tools to then do all these things in application. Uh-huh. But I'm not necessarily, like, learning how to do exactly that in school, which is good, because if they just taught you how to, I don't know, it's like give a man a fish versus teach a man how to fish. So it's sort of like, they taught me how to fish, but they're not going to, like, give me the fish. And the fish is actually, like, the, you know... the exact how to make a virus. So yeah, I feel like, I don't know, you learn things, and it's a blessing to be able to have that degree, because I can work in that field.
But if you want to,
obviously, yeah, I'm pursuing comedy, so
that's
it's,
so
it's
sick.
More like a side.
So is comedy full time
job? Technically, yes. I mean, it's like, it's not in the sense that I don't do only stand-up comedy. I guess I, like, write. I also, like, I'm trying to do auditioning and acting and stuff like that. Cool. So
are you on any shows right now?
I'm not. Let's see. I was working on I was writing on a show for a little bit. So I was working on the show called Epic Night, that's going to be released on this new platform. That's cool. Sort of like,
are you allowed to discuss that? Or is it,
I guess,
NDA,
I am.
NDA'd up?
I didn't say anything.
Some homegirls on here and straight dropped, like,
all
the
name,
and was like, hey, hit me up a week later. Like,
oh, really?
Can we bleep that out? Like, no, sorry.
Oh, no, it's already live.
I'm going to have to get you to code it or something.
I mean, yeah, yeah. no, yeah, so I was working on that. I was like, so right now it's like pilot season for acting and shit. So I actually just...
Sick.
Had a test for a pilot that I didn't get. I found out, like, this morning that I didn't get it. But it was, like, me and three other people where we were, like, all
close. And it didn't get picked up.
Or I just didn't get the role.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you'll
but,
get
you know,
it.
Whatever.
It
was, like, I got as far as I have ever gotten.
I give you props for getting to that point of, like, you know.
Thank
and
you.
A lot of people, like, I know some people do comedy and it's like, I get, you know, you're doing the whole Instagram or, you know, Snapchat thing. But
totally.
It's like, you know, when you get a pilot season, you film a pilot. It's just like, that's work on another level.
I mean, they like, the, you know, the crazy thing about that point, like where I got to, they like negotiate the deal for how much money you're going to make per episode. And it's fucking heartbreaking. Like knowing no. how much, I mean, but also it's like, even when I heard what they got me and like, okay, so then you just got to get through this level and then that level. And then if you get it, yay, this is how much you're going to make. Like, even knowing that, I'm like, okay, still gotta get through some fucking levels. Like, this is, right. like, a video game. Like, it's intense. But,
That is a video game.
But it's crazy when they dangle that carrot out there. Well, like, but then you learn how much you could be making,
I guess. I saw in the Ken Jeong special, he talked about that. Oh, how really? They took his pilot away, and he's like, oh, I went yeah. from all this. Well, that wasn't oh, pilot. Oh, his show. He's talking about canceling the show. Yeah, and then yeah. something along the lines of a pilot years. Being, uh-huh. like, taken away and like just how devastating that is. Sure. But I feel like with that, you're probably just gonna bounce back higher. Probably gonna.
I mean, look, yeah. I mean, Ken Jeong, you look at his career, like he obviously yeah. has a crazy career before even joining acting. But like when he did that show, I think it took a while to get the pilot made. Then, it, you know, they made it and it takes 2 years to cancel it. But then he's like, gets his Netflix special. He's on Crazy Rich Asians. You know, it's like mm-hmm. all this stuff that I don't think could have been predicted.
So are you working know. On a special or anything like that? Or you know, towards one? Or
what I'm trying to work towards right now is like a late night set. So it's obviously like a lot shorter, not as ambitious. But I think that's like, I haven't done that yet. And
you haven't done late night yet?
No, not really. I've done Last Call with Carson Daly, but that's not really like the live late night set.
Oh, so you don't consider that like...
excuse me.
Like, you want to yeah, be on Fallon, or...
Yeah, sort of, like, where oh, you
out. I'd say, like, within the next, like, I don't know, half a year, you'll be on something.
Oh, God. I don't know. It no, is, I it know is a it. Crazy process.
But. Just all you have to do is email the Just for Laughs clip, and then you're done. It's, like, oh, half a million yeah, views.
Know. That one's, like...
Pretty know. Prestige, you know?
Like that one. I try not to look at the comments.
Dude, listen. So I know all YouTube about... Okay.
Comments. Yeah, how do you deal with that?
Mine's worse, because I have a live... broadcast idea. Oh, okay. That's, so not on here. It's on Periscope. It. Yeah. And it's pretty popular. So I have, okay. I'm live with thousands sometimes.
Whoa. Uh-huh.
And it's always racial shit.
Really?
It's like, go like, eat my, it's like, it. Go eat my dog. Stupid. You know, it's like, uh-huh. like it, sometimes it's at 7 a.m. It's like, wow, you just woke up with that thought. Like, right. And it's the thing that I'm not mad that they're throwing these racial slurs. It's how unoriginal the racial slurs
yeah,
are.
Yeah, yeah. They think
like, come like a little more, like, if that. You were to come fresh with it, like, oh, you look like Stephen Chow from, you know, Kung Fu Soccer.
Sure, sure.
Oh, good. Like, oh, this guy knows his, this guy knows his shit,
deep
you know?
Cut. That's a deep cut.
But yeah. it's like, they go right into, like, racial shit, and it's, you know, I have to experience it live.
Yeah.
Where sometimes I could choose to, like, try to roast back, which I do most of the time. But cool. then now I just block.
That's a lot, though.
I block, block, yeah, block, yeah. block.
Oh, that's hard.
And it's equivalent to literally doing a set and having someone heckle you.
Yeah, it is.
But it's like, and I've had it on YouTube, that too. I did this cool. one, I did this thing on Operation Repo, which mm-hmm. was a fake reality show on True TV.
Cool.
And I played a tattoo artist who gets his car repossessed. And how it goes, it's just guerrilla style. They like, you have to be a good improver. So they go, okay, we roll the camera and you just go for it.
Uh-huh.
And I have to pretend to be mad that these two buff guys are taking my car away. And so the scene ends with them choking me out. Uh-huh. And I, like, I'm not an act, so I'm like pretending to get choked out. Uh-huh. So it goes on YouTube and it gets like hits. First comments like stupid Jap, fucking Jap, stupid chink, fucking idiot.
It's just the it's people like, that these guys attract, I guess. Like it's so weird.
It just shows you that the majority of people out there on the internet are just garbage.
But I don't know. So yeah, that's the thing. I don't think it's majority though, right? It's just like that loud minority.
And we notice the bad before we do the
totally.
Good.
Totally. The bad, like,
we skip
way
past, oh, she's amazing, to, like,
oh, totally.
She sucks, or yeah, fuck that I mean, bit, or whatever.
I definitely was hit hard by just, like, a lot of comments that are backhanded compliments, too. Like, ones that would be like, oh, I mean, it would have been okay if she didn't, you know, if she had more of this, like, confidence, or something. Like things like that were... Or it'll be like, sometimes people will message me directly and like, it's like, why would you go out of your way to message me directly to say this like kind of shitty half not?
So do you get like messed up DMs?
Actually, I would say it sort of like depends where I'm at in my head, right? So it's all on me, but it's also like, it's,
how do you deal with that?
If I'm feeling like not confident, then somebody writes something like, oh, good set, but like, I could tell you were nervous. I'd be like, oh, shut up. I like would rather not hear anything at all, right?
Yeah.
How do I deal with it? I don't know. I mean, I guess like for a while there, I would just definitely not, like, I would turn off notifications, because I think for a while there I was getting notifications for like YouTube comments,
and then you would
channel.
Just read everything,
and like, yeah, that would be terrible. Like, I'd wake up in the morning and same thing, it'd be like, oh well, I don't want to wake up to somebody,
it's,
you
know, just so nasty.
Yeah.
And how does that affect you deeply,
you know,
or do you just brush it off?
I think I've gotten better with each time, but like this past video that just got out, I think like I was so nervous about the video itself already that it just didn't help to have
negative feedback,
right? Because I was like, oh, I think I did well that set, but you know, you never know. And
I guess, so don't you get scared to release shit?
Yeah,
because you feel like, is it like it's your own like personal insecurity minus like what do they think and what do your peers think?
Yeah, I like didn't want it to be out there unless it was an accurate representation of like what I'm working on, and I hadn't released a new stand-up thing in like a long time, and that was kind of deliberate. So I wanted it to go over well, but it was a good opportunity, so, like, I'm happy.
Well,
we
got
that.
A shitload of hits. If you guys want, can I tell them if they want to see
sure,
it?
Sure, yeah.
So if you guys go on the Just For Last Instagram, like, two posts away, just look for Sierra Coteau. You'll know immediately who she is.
Yeah.
And then it's at 500,000 views.
Oh, yeah.
So honestly,
yeah,
hey, I mean, fuck the haters.
You know, yeah.
Five, half a million?
Yeah.
On IG, that's pretty sick.
Views, I'll take it.
That's pretty sick. Yeah. Like, the most I got was 10,000, and, like, it wasn't even with comedy. It was, like, a video of, like, a hot girl getting tattooed. You know?
So, I don't know. I mean, I think it always gets easier, like, as it becomes less and less of a big deal, you know? But
so then you start Flappers. Is it, like, an open mic? Or?
Oh, right. Yeah, it was, like, their open mic audition thing. And actually, my
you did the 3-minute audition, right? Yeah, I started at Flappers too.
Oh, yeah. It's a good place to, like, I don't know.
Did you enter the contest, Uncle Clyde's thing?
I did, yeah. I think I did that a couple times.
And did you ever win?
One of mine came in third, I think. Yeah. How about you?
I won the.
That's awesome. Don't you get like?
I won $500 and I got to feature for a headliner. But then that's when I got blacklisted that same weekend.
Why? What happened?
Well, they gave me an open bar.
Oh. Nice.
And you have to understand, like, when I got into comedy, it wasn't like I had this dream.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I took a class, I did this video, it got a lot of hits, cool. And then I was like, oh, let me take this. And I wanted to win the money.
Yeah.
So when I went and I did it, I didn't have this professional mindset that I understand comedy now.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you're giving this, like, you know, savage a open tab. And it was like, you know, popping bottles all night,
oh God,
getting the homies
incredible.
Drinks.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, Dave calling me into the room on, like, Sunday, you know, when the weekend's wrapping. And it was like a principal, dude. It was like, the receipts fell to the ground and curled on the ground. And he was like, you know, I could understand one or two, but he's like, there's like 30, he's like, and
that's
I was
hilarious.
Like, honestly, like, you're abusing the privileges.
Oh my God.
And I sat there like, dude, I had no idea. Because I seriously had all my homies that went there, like, skate rats, and they're like, you know, these guys don't have money.
Yeah,
so I was like, put it on my tab, you know?
Totally.
Boom, and they're just getting drinks, and from that day on.
That's hilarious.
You would think after winning a competition, you know, opening, doing kind of good, and then, like, you would think after that they would give me bookings. That was it.
Sure.
I'm 8 years in, and that was the last time I heard from them.
I mean, that's okay. I don't think you're missing out.
I mean, I know I'm not missing out,
but yeah, that's hilarious. That's a really funny story. I'm, like, mortified for you, because that's just, like,
hilarious. And he's, look, I don't mean to say it, he's a Jewish dude. So that just triples the pain. Well,
I
mean,
I know, like, with flappers, oh, and like, any club, you know, they're all, at the end of the day, a business. So it's, like, hard to get
creative. And they're even harder on comedians because we're such fucks, you know, like.
Sure, sure. It's hard to get, like, yeah, any sort of slack from them when it comes to business stuff, just because, like, they're just trying to keep their business afloat.
I've done, you know? Such, like, if someone came to me with, like, you know, what I've done in terms of, like, business advice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They would just be shaking their heads. Like, Jamie Masada gave me the ugliest look ever. You know, I'm surprised that I've still been able to go back there.
Why? What do you mean?
I was on stage with, like, after skating in shorts and, like, I had my board. Oh, yeah. I remember him just, like, looking at me all just...
You know,
how do you work in my club? And, like, just the look and...
That's hilarious.
See, I don't come from this judgy, freaking, like...
Sure, no.
But, you know, I understand it now, like, the way business is, you know?
I also don't know if I feel like the shorts thing... Like,
I've heard you can't wear shorts on stage.
I've heard it, too, and I
Pharrell wore shorts at the Oscars.
But, like, I know.
I really was like, I was sitting there.
That's his luck. Yeah, that's his luck. He likes to wear that, like, boy short, like, uniform.
But I was like, that's the fucking Oscars, dude.
It's hilarious.
You look like you're walking down, like, a Zoomies runway. Like, he's got the camo shorts.
It's such a, like,
it's such a, like, this is my, like, this is who I am, you know?
Which is pretty dope.
Which is dope, but I feel like if Kevin Hart was there, he would have roasted him.
Sure, yeah.
You wear some shorts, man. It's Oscars, man.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I think with all that stuff, I don't know. Also, it's like, at the end of the day, they will not judge if you are... If you funny. Make it big. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you are funny and also, you know, so I think at the end of the day, all that stuff gets trumped.
Well, that's what I love about comedy. It's so, like, okay, dude, you can talk all you want. You can post whatever you, like,
right.
Let me see that's 7 minutes or that. Yeah. That will tell you everything.
Great, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel
right
like
when you get off that set, you know?
Yeah, like, once you see somebody.
You can't bullshit. And comedy, and you can't fake it. It's like, bro, either you did good or you bombed, you know, or you did whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just
it's fun in that sense. It feels like
it's so challenging.
It feels like there is at least a gauge that not a lot.
Did you bomb a lot before it's finally getting a rhythm, or were you always just?
I mean, I'm still always trying to find my rhythm. I think it comes in and out. You know.
When's the last time you just ate? Shit, where you question the
whole thing. Fuck, I don't know. I feel like I do that all the time in auditions. So that also
like
helps.
Acting auditions.
Well, acting auditions are like basically
those ones freak me out more than comedy.
Cause it's when they're just in the room, you and a couple other people, and then I had to do this testing thing where you're basically like in a room with a bunch of execs like staring.
I hate
you.
The girl on. There's always a girl on a laptop with like glasses. She's typing, but she's like,
wow, watching you?
Yeah, that's I fucking intense. Hate that. That's like, intense. I'm honestly, I turned my back on the acting thing.
No, and that's fair.
Like, I was like doing it for a minute, and then not the acting thing. I probably want to dive back, but more like doing my own thing.
Cool. No, and I think we luckily don't have to rely on auditions to get stuff as comedians because we can just do comedy, and write stuff for ourselves, blah blah blah. But anyway, yeah, last time I probably bombed for stand-up, I know for sure. I mean, I've had some, like, questionable shows where I like, bomb in between.
You but know you
mean?
Know, like, you know
jokes,
for sure
some jokes,
I'm when.
Like, that wasn't great. But I definitely had one. Well, one, it wasn't totally my fault. There was, like, it was a sports bar thing where there was, like,
oh, no,
a lot
yeah.
of competing shit going on. So that just felt like screaming into the void. I didn't
yeah,
know
that,
right
that doesn't count.
But I guess I've just had, like, a few where I felt like, I don't know, sometimes I'll try new jokes and I'll just be like, oh, well, I guess that didn't work. Yeah, I don't know. No. I would say, I mean, like, that's definitely, like, even this last show I did, I would say it wasn't, like, great.
What
like,
was
I
the last show? Bombed, was that,
Laugh I did it at, I did it at, like, this... Was it this, like, restaurant or wine bar or something that, like, is in Silver Lake? And
the
it was
dojo
a fun show. It was called,
The Dojo
well,
or something?
No, it's not The Dojo. It's, like, the show is called Loose Change. It was like a really fun show. I just felt like I didn't do as well as I should have, if that makes sense. Because I felt like the room was warm, and like when I went up, I kind of like, I did okay for a while, and then in the middle, I kind of lost them. So maybe around there is kind of like the last time I felt like, uh-oh, gotta work on this. And then I went out of town for this crazy show, and oh yeah, this was fun. Well, it was like the day after Valentine's Day, maybe. I had a show in Ventura.
Okay.
And it was like this big, it was really
crazy. Was it Ventura Harbor Comedy Club?
No, it wasn't a comedy club. It was like for this church group that was literally like clean show. Uh-oh. It's like this couples forward, like make sure everything's couples positive and like do, you know, 10 minutes. So I did my 10 minutes and it was, I had to keep it so clean.
Was it a daytime show?
First. It was nighttime. But, okay. And it was like this huge.
Was there alcohol involved?
No, definitely not. It was this huge, Jesus. Yeah, it was this huge, like, warehouse thing with, like, a stadium. Like, it had, like, a concert-like feel. Mm-hmm. So it was a sick room, but I was just keeping it so clean because I was the first one to go up, and I was just, like, not sure what they meant by clean. And then I watched the comics after me, and they were, like, totally just doing their regular jokes and subbing.
And they were,
don't so you, I could have made it.
Well, don't you hate that? I hate, like, that's happened to me, too, when they're like, guys, you have to, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you go first, bite the bullet or whatever, go in the middle. And then you're just watching, and we're like, what? And they start laughing at the dirty shit.
They totally laugh at the dirty shit.
I'm going to tell you right now, they want the dirty shit. I know. Like, people are so dumb when they think that the normal person wants to have some watered down shit. Like, we laugh at stuff behind closed doors.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's the stuff you can't hear in public.
Yeah.
I think it's so fucking funny, like, when I do these self-proclaimed clean rooms, and then my friend does some, like, vagina joke or something about, like, fucking, or, like, just, and then they're just, these old ladies are dying, and, like,
they
getting all rowdy, and...
Yeah, if anything, that's, like, what goes over the best, but, I was just too worried, because also, you know, it was with, like, a guy...
But you're pretty clean, and your shit is smart, and I noticed you don't cuss, you don't really drop F-bombs or anything like that. Like,
I'll get in the habit sometimes, but I guess right now I don't.
Do you have, like, a blue set? Like, just a Sierra Uncensored set?
Not really.
That's, like,
I mean,
just,
like
holy
jokes.
Crap. Like, Bob Saget freaking Shock Value
not
set.
That crazy.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if I ever would. I guess it's just not really, like, I find that shit really funny, but
it's
I don't think I ever have it in my, it's not really, like, a part of what
you.
I'm doing. Yeah, I don't know. But not that I don't love that stuff. I don't know. It's just different.
Do you prefer, like, comedy to be... Do you like more of the, like, long-form witty? Mm. Do you like stories? Do you like just jokes, you know, like traditional setup punchline? Do you like more, like, personal stuff?
I love personal stuff, I guess. Yeah, so if, like, that's all depending on what the style is. I mean, I love,
like, do you like Louis? Did you like Louis?
I think I did. I definitely, like, was... not sure if I... Okay, well, I don't know. It's hard now because I've obviously adjusted how I feel about Louis, you know, given the news. But I feel like everybody loved him so much, so I, like, maybe wasn't on that level.
Mm-hmm.
I think because once everybody comes out saying, like, oh, this guy, you gotta watch him, like, my expectations are so high.
That you...
That I'm like, well, okay, yeah, funny stuff. I think I do love more of, like, the, I don't know if I'm into it anymore, but, like, you know, Anthony Jeselnik, like, dark shit is, like, so funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, dark twists on
jokes. Yeah, like, dark, twisted, like fucked up
stuff.
Shit.
Yeah.
I love that stuff, too.
It just makes me laugh super hard, and I feel like it's fun to be able to commiserate with, like, if you're watching it with friends, and then
well,
like,
the reason I see
repeat,
dark shit, like porn, almost. Like, it's, like...
Sure.
Like, it's, it's the shock shit where it's like what you don't expect or what you don't see. It's not like porn, but it's more like it's like when you're a kid and their parents tell you you can't watch a rated R movie.
Sure.
The first time you see like a nude
forbidden.
Scene.
Yeah. I like that.
Forbidden.
But I don't know. Yeah, it's weird because I feel like I also don't really know I remember I did submit like a tape to Late Night and I've been trying to submit a new one, but like basically one thing that I had said, they were like, oh, that's too dark for Late Night. I was like, my joke is dark. I just like don't have a gauge. I mean, I think
what
really
Late Night was this, like
Colbert. Yeah. I think they keep it really light, you know. They try to keep
Jimmy was on Colbert, but I don't know if he did stand up or he just was a guest.
Oh, right. Maybe he was a guest. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, and then they make exceptions for people who are obviously like that's their style, but I think because it's like something I can change. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Anyway, it was interesting. So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe my gauge for what's dark is like really messed up.
Well, yeah. Also, like, I just feel like within comedian mind frames, like, what is the gauge? Sometimes yeah, it's mean, just so like.
Yeah, I love watching roasts and stuff. I've never done a roast battle, but I
feel like you'd be good at one. Like you
I'd be so scared.
Would you want to do one? Not against me, but would you ever do one?
I think I would be like it just is challenge so intimidating Steve Lee. To me. Oh no.
That would be sick. Sierra Steve
I think it'd just be so intimidating to me. He's so good. Like to write something and see how it pans out. Like, I don't know. I'm so scared of that.
And you're probably scared of getting burned so
totally.
Hard.
Totally. I would get burned so hard. I know I would. But also I love watching it. You know, just like
well, because it's like a different art form in a sense of its own kind where it's like the ability to just kind of deconstruct someone.
Sure, yeah, and like say exactly.
I used to do my thing was battle rapping in the early days, and one of the guys who came out of my scene was Dumbfounded.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I had a few times where I battled him. I battled him twice.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And I mean, two different, like rap tournament kind of things.
Uh-huh. That's awesome. How was that?
I lost both. Mm-hmm. But I think I was too aggressive. You know, the thing about Dumb, which makes him good, is he's so chill.
Yeah.
And he actually looks like he's thinking, like, he's witty. Uh-huh. So he can flip people. Like, you know, if you say something about him. Like, this one guy went in, like, his most famous rap that got him famous.
Yeah.
This guy's, like, going crazy. This guy's named Tantrum.
Right.
Like, you call him a faggot and all this thing. And he's like, take a chill pill, Kill Bill. You know, like, it was just, like, his whole rap style.
That's true. That definitely.
Yeah, and I was one of those, like, aggro people. And I realized, like, if you're able to just, like, even comedy, you have to get to that zen, monk-like. Where you can just easily, like, navigate through it. You don't use too much adrenaline. You know when to use it. It's like, those are my best sets always.
Cool. Yeah.
When it's like, I can control it. Uh-huh. But sometimes, like, those bar sets, they just...
Oh, yeah, no.
You're just like, screaming, and you just feel... You feel so yucky after you're done. Like,
yeah. Just, like,
what
you
did
drive
I,
away.
What did I...
It's could have hard. Been at home. I mean, it's like, it's hard because the environment.
So, do you live with your dude? Like, you guys?
I do now, yeah. So, about a year. I'm in Echo Park.
You're in Echo Park. Mm-hmm. So, you guys have your own spot?
Yeah. I'm just like apartment.
Dog, too? Is there a dog involved? What? No dog? No pet?
Oh, I wish. But
he doesn't want one?
No, he does. Like, we both really want a dog.
But you're so busy?
Yeah, it's just like. It would be a bad idea. You know, I don't even have, like, money for myself. And then I just need to, like... I don't even know how to take care of myself. So it'd be bad to, like, have to throw another living thing into the mix, I think. Plus,
I don't know.
We don't have a backyard. Like, I don't really have anywhere where I'd be able to, like... I mean, we could walk
in. You live in Echo Park, you said?
Yeah. But, like, I don't really have anything to be, like, go run around. Like, I'd have to do that myself. And I don't know if I have time for that.
Yeah,
and, like,
I mean, it's
stuff,
a big,
you have to make sure that they're taken care of, so.
It's a huge responsibility, animals.
I mean, we really, really want to get, like, a bulldog, like an English bulldog, but then those have, like, such health issues that it would actually end up being so expensive, because, like, one of our friends, had, like, a English bulldog, and I think for just vet bills, because they have all these health issues and shit like that, it's, like, $40,000. It's, like, I don't have an extra $40,000 to spend on a dog.
That's a lot.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
$40,000?
Because their dog, like, had all these issues, and those dogs have a lot of issues. Like, I mean, if you get, like, any other
dog... What happened in the old days is just, like, tie them under the fence and
leave them outside. I mean, if you have, like, a regular dog,
like, Jesus, $40,000.
Not that bad, but, I mean...
I guess if you love a dog, and I would wish if I had the money, you know, but... Who has that money for a French bulldog?
Yeah. I think this friend, like... Oh, excuse me.
It's okay.
Oh, I have water. I think she, like... I think it still died, too.
It died? The $40,000
dog? Yeah, it still died.
Oh. That annoys me too sometimes. Like, not annoys me, but I've had that. Where they're like, I'm like, you're rich, dude. You know why you're rich? Mm-hmm. The dog is like, it's like dying. The kidney's blown out. It's like, they're giving the surgery, $9,000.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I get it, dude. But, you know, why haven't I gotten a raise? You know, like.
Oh, yeah, lol. That's hilarious.
Like, we had this, I used to work for this guy. And, you know, no disrespect. Like, I love him. Mm-hmm. And he was a startup company. And we were like the pawns.
Yeah.
To help grow this. And the dude, like, cashed in his checks. And it was like, I had a friend there who literally just watched this guy become, you know, so successful off of a lot of her ideas.
Oh.
So it's not a bad thing. It's like business, right? I get it. When you're denying someone salary or raises and you're like, I can't, but my fucking dog needs a $15,000, like, you know, fucking paw transplant. You know, or no, nothing on the budget, but there's a new Tesla in the parking lot.
Sure, yeah.
It's like, dude, well, really, dude? Really, come on, bro.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's not a good look.
It's not a good look at all. Yeah, so. I don't know. I actually rescued a dog recently.
Oh,
I met a girl on Tinder.
Nice.
And it was one of those things where. She had it all on the outside, right? Like, nice car, good looking, big house, beautiful dog, brand new baby. Where's the husband? The husband left for another homegirl and was like, you just keep it.
Ooh, okay.
And so I'm just thinking, like, bro, if I met the girl in my dreams, like, you want to jam out that bad. Or like, did you have everything? I'm out. You know, like, I gotta go, I'm gonna go there. Yeah, like, it must be really bad, right?
Yeah.
So, the more and more we started to date, I started to see it. I was like, oh, dude, if this dude was with her for 5 years, in two, like, 4 months, I was already like,
what do you
mean? I need to cut the rope. Like, it was, it was just.
I mean, you don't have to.
I mean, I don't mean to say anything mean, but it was the only thing I noticed was. They had this beautiful golden retriever. It was the best dog. I'm literally not lying. When it comes, I've seen dogs, you know, every relationship. There was something special about this dog.
Uh-huh.
And it made me think about, you know, when sometimes things happen for reasons where maybe it's not. I felt like I was supposed to be this dog's savior.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
Because it was such a good dog, but it was so neglected and treated like. And I don't know if it was because she was mad at the divorce thing and the baby, but it just seemed like it needed a better life. And it just so happened, my landlord's wife, the first day I moved in, she's crying on the corner. What's going on? She's showing me her dog that she had for like 10 years. He passed away. Oh, man. David's so stupid. You know, always talking. Aww. The husband did something where, you know, crying. And finally, I was like, you know what? Fuck it, dude. I'm going to. And she was already trying to give the dog away, which blew my mind. I was like, fuck, dude. You have a dog like that since a baby that's that awesome? You stick it out, dude. Fuck the divorce, the kid. Like, that's your fucking homie. Like, you don't just piece him out like that, you know? Sure. She literally just emotionally, like, pieced him out. And I don't know. And I finally was like, hey, can I just borrow him for a night? Can he sleep over? She's like, yeah, take him. But the trick was. I knew, like, if I took him here, the landlord's wife would see him.
Uh-huh.
So he comes in, he sleeps, and then he goes downstairs. And it was, like, out of a fucking Disney movie. Like, my landlord's pissed. You can't bring a dog, you know the rules.
Oh, yeah.
And the dog literally just was like, peace, homie. He, like, ran around him and, like, jumped into the wife's arms.
Aww.
And it was, like, fucking love. She was like, oh, my God. He's, like, licking her.
Oh, he knew.
And he knew, and then at that moment, I already knew. I went to talk to the homegirl, and I said, hey, you know, gave him the numbers, that whole thing, and it's been about 2 years. This dog is so grateful for what I've done for him, because he came from shit.
Uh-huh.
They don't feed him food. They cook him dinner. He's eating steaks, fucking. Wow. He's eating better than they don't have a kid.
Oh, yeah.
So he treats him like a son. Uh-huh. And I would too. He's that dope. Like, you know, like, she washes him. It's just, like, 24-7 with him.
Oh, yeah.
And he lets me know, like, thank you. Like, because when I go to my car, he'll be like, rrr, rrr, rrr. And then he has to tell me, like, yo, bro, thank you for hooking this up, man. Mm. You know, my life would have been so... And as much as... Yeah, it worked out.
And that was, like... And so she was cool with, like, letting the dog go over there.
Cause, oh, yeah, yeah. She wanted to get rid of him. And I was like... And I was like, man, that's so crazy that I matched the girl on Tinder and saved the dog's life, you know?
Yeah.
Like, awesome. If I never matched her, that dog would have had a shitty life.
Oh, yeah.
Just sad, all mopey, like, under the bed.
Aww.
All jealous of the baby, you know? The dad's fucking gone, you know? Like, so I was just really happy that, you know, that came out of that. Yeah. And then it made me realize, like, you know, dogs are like human beings, too. Like, they recognize. they're, like, he's grateful.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, just, and like, even if he hadn't gone around, like, he knew that she wanted
something. Yeah, went around him and then leaped on him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And like, that story. It was really like Dog's Way Home. That movie, Dog's Way Home.
I haven't seen it, but I know that.
Do you have, are you a movie buff?
No, you know, I haven't watched as many as I should.
Are you more of a book person or a movie?
Oh, God. I'm more of a TV person, I guess.
Like, just regular TV? You're like a Channel like 7?
Streaming and, you know, okay. Netflix.
So what shows are you up on right now?
You know what I started watching recently? And so I haven't seen a ton, but One Day at a Time on Netflix. It's like this multi-cam sitcom.
Oh,
like,
cool.
It's really cute. And it takes place in Echo Park, supposedly. I mean, it's like about a Cuban-American family, and they're like, it's like just a fun, you know, sitcom. But it, in the opening credits, they show Echo Park and like Porto's Bakery and stuff. So
I love that.
It feels very like...
Oh, they put a Porto's in Echo Park?
No, but they show Porto's because Porto's is owned by Cuban family, so so they like show it.
Oh, so they try to like lie? Oh, that's in Glendale.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's close enough.
Do you like Porto's?
I love Porto's. I actually went to high school with a couple Porto's, like,
they're Porto's kids.
Yeah. So I love it. I mean,
Porto's pretty good.
They just renovated. I actually went recently, and it was packed. I mean, it's always
so packed.
And they renovated again. It's very nice.
You know what I love about those, like, you know, it kind of reminds me of, like, if, you know, when I know, a Chinese restaurant's legit, when there's, like, not just Chinese families, got, like, a black family in there, like, a couple Mexican families, and I feel like that's Porto's.
Oh, totally.
Like, you go there, like, I see so many Chinese families, they want to get the cake.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's, like, everybody under the...
Everyone under one side. It's, like universal bomb, you know?
Yeah, yeah, everybody...
So what do you get there? The Cuban sandwich?
I've gotten a Cuban sandwich before. I like the potato balls.
Oh, yeah, the potato balls.
I'll just get, like, a dozen potato balls.
Yeah, the dozen potato... Carve it up.
And then... I got these... The cheese version. The spicy cheese potato balls.
Yeah, the spicy... Anything potato ball, taco, delicious.
Yeah, I'll just... The guava, like...
Yeah. Is this your favorite place to eat?
You know, it's up there. I wouldn't say I go all the time because it's not, like, that convenient, but it is good.
What if you're on death, if you're on death row and you had a last meal? Your last meal. Yeah.
Shit.
You have, like, 5 minutes to live and they go.
I mean.
Would it be a dish your mom makes or something?
Yeah, maybe.
It would? Well, what? Okay, what's your background? I'm sorry I jumped to so much shit.
Oh, yeah. No.
But real quick, what's your background? You're Nepali or something, right?
What?
Aren't you Nepalese or something?
That would be sick. No,
yeah, you are. You're Thai.
I'm half Chinese, half Japanese. Simple as
what
that.
The fuck? I'm blown. This whole time I thought you were like Thai or Nepalese or Bengalese.
Oh my God. I'm flattered, but...
Oh, you're basic. You're Chinese, Japanese. Hell,
yeah.
You're fucking conflicting.
Yeah, conflicting. Mom's Chinese, dad's Japanese.
Full Japanese?
Yeah.
Who's... Oh, so Kato is Japanese.
Yeah, it's Kato, I guess. Oh. So that's why. But it's got that W, so it confuses people. And
so you're like a Chapa. She's a Chapa,
dude.
Wait,
what's that?
It's Hapa, Chinese Hapa.
Half Chinese.
You're a Chapa. Get to the Chapa.
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah.
You're a Chinese, Japanese.
Yeah, you hybrid. Know, but, yeah.
Wow, so you must, now, was your mom and dad very integrated when it came to culture, or was it very distinct?
So they're like I'm fourth generation, so they're third generation, and they're very American, like L.A.
Oh, there's, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
So L.A. grew up here, like, met in USC.
Oh, so they have no accent.
No accent. Okay. Like, my grandparents were even born here, so all, like, Americanized. Yeah, so all that shit's gone, unfortunately.
So you don't
but also, fortunately, like, I don't know, I'm very blessed to be, you know, privileged, hashtag privileged, to be fourth generation. Yeah, we've got a big family, very interesting family history, very Asian American, you know, like all that stuff. Yeah, so that's that. But
I dated this fourth generation girl in high school, and the family. I remember we would go into the, and they all smoked cigarettes together.
Whoa!
It was like
we didn't do that.
Well, it was like a really weird thing because like mom, dad, and then we'd be all just like puffing cigarettes, and they're only like they're only like 18.
Jesus Christ! Yeah, hey, that's not normal. I don't know.
And it was just very, like, I actually didn't like it because it was, like, I felt like they were trying too hard to be, like, this, like, good old-fashioned American family, and they just ignored all, it was like, we're having meatloaf tonight, Margaret, and I'm like, Margaret.
Interesting.
And, like,
Margaret,
and the son was like, oh, can I have another cig, Mom? And they're just, like, puffing cigs, dude. And I didn't smoke cigs. No, so I would just literally be at the table fucking clouds of fucking carcinogens.
Indoors? Oh, yummy.
All around me. I felt like the dirty kid in the Charlie Brown with the fucking cloud around him.
Exactly. That's
and I'm like, what the fuck? Is it okay to all smoke like
indoors
this?
In your house. It probably
really. And I was like, yeah, this is some for real fourth generation shit.
I mean, I didn't because
first generation, you have to hide everything. It's all about the hiding shit, you know?
Oh, I see. Interesting. Hiding
like hiding chicks, hiding weed, hiding weed. Hiding anything that you thought was bad.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean,
so you're like hella Americanized.
Very Americanized. Yeah, didn't smoke, but but otherwise quite Americanized.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
your parents smoke or drink? No, or
actually not really. I mean, I guess my dad does, but like,
is your dad,
wasn't really a thing on a daily basis at all.
So your dad's Japanese guy, right?
Yeah.
Younger, older?
Older. Middle? They're all like, they're all older.
Super old? Like, are they chill? Are they cool, funny? You said they're funny?
They've always been funny. They've become chiller. You know, again, I think they were kind of, they were more unchill in like the, suburban parent way rather than like the Asian way, I guess. If that, I don't know if that's
like a Sierra, you didn't call. It's 10 o'clock. Yeah, where have you been?
More
who's
like
this rock?
The helicopter like parent type rather than like the, I don't know.
So you grew up in Echo. Wait, you said you
grew up
in
actually La Cañada, so that's.
Oh, there she goes.
Yeah, suburban.
That's hella suburban.
Yeah.
So did you go to Sacred Heart too?
No.
Yeah, you did.
The La Cañada High School.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
La Cañada is a famous skate spot.
Yeah, well, the high school
it's
I know
like
was,
in a lot
right?
of skating.
Yeah, they started putting like tables and
yeah, they have to like put the skate blocks on.
Oh my god!
It's funny because in the skate community there are these famous places that only we know.
It's like underground.
So to some guy in Germany, La Cañada is like, you know La Cañada.
Oh my god.
You've been
I
to La Cañada. Like, I've dreamed to go there. So
right,
like,
that
you're
was,
like, that's this chick's high school.
Yeah,
it's nothing, dude.
So I did hear murmurs of that, but like, that's cool.
It's pretty insane. That's awesome. Yeah. La Cañada High. I remember the reason I know is like, we'd go and film there. And
yeah, okay.
Get kicked
out.
Maybe,
you know. Cross paths then. But yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, we were those annoying guys where you're like walking up the steps.
Oh yeah,
like, and you're like scared because everyone's smoking weed around.
Yeah.
You.
Oh no, not weed. But yeah.
Oh, do you really? Do you react to weed like that? Oh no, not weed.
Oh no, no. But I probably in high school I did because it was so demonized, you know.
Yeah, it's
like,
so demonized.
Drugs, don't do them.
How about now? Have you smoked? Do you dabble in it every now and then? The occasional cannabis.
I would say it's not my drug. Like, I've given it a lot of tries. My boyfriend is really deep into it, so like
he's
I've
a pothead.
Been like, maybe I yeah.
I was all scared when you came. I was like, blow the smoke out the window.
Oh, no,
Sierra's
like,
coming.
No, I don't care. It's just like
I was like, here, Harvard's coming
result,
here.
Well,
put my
so
plaque
was,
up. I was like, there's
was
my
like
award.
A big part of, or like, I mean, I don't want to.
He's
say
a big
this
part
much,
of stoner
but,
culture.
Not technically. I mean, he's like, obviously, I think he just showed that like you can be a high functioning like stoner. It's
okay,
not
that's dope.
I think,
yeah,
I think
no,
it
you
gets
can.
A bad rap, you know, for
it's
being
not,
like, oh, well,
it's
if you're
fucking
a stoner,
medicine.
You're not, you know, this, but it's like, he's like a very capable human being and like, it's
and he
just
smokes
like
every day, all day, every day, right?
Yeah, maybe, like, not as much anymore, but he did for a while, I guess. It's like a,
did you ever have a talk with him? Like, you're spending too much time, and, you know, really, it's like, it's always about smoking, we don't talk anymore, we don't watch my stand-up
sets. No, I mean, it never, like, affected our relationship. No, no.
You're all pissed.
It was just, like, I knew, I guess, like, as we got to know each other, it's like, okay, I guess that's, like, he does do that, and, like, as a result, I have given it multiple tries, because I'm like, well, if this person that I care about...
So you come,
like,
in there and do that one hit.
Yeah, and then I fucking, like, get knocked out. Yeah, no, I mean, I've had a lot of freak out, so I just feel like it's maybe not my
drug. It's
not
your drug.
Or it's very
strong. So what's
your
drug? Is there any drug?
Well, I mean, I would say alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, I mean, that's scary.
What if you just
went
with, like, cocaine, you know, yeah, like, something super serious?
No.
Methamphetamines,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Heroin, it's my fave.
Yeah, exactly.
Heroin. Alcohol.
Right.
How many people do you know? Like, you know, what was my thing is, like, you knew everyone who did everything, but we knew no one who did heroin. That was like, you know what I mean? Like, I always felt like I never knew the heroin guy.
I think that's probably because it's
it's like,
it tends to be something.
Everyone smoked weed and did coke, but where's the fucking heroin? I want to meet the, like, Jim Morrison.
I don't know if you
want
to meet the heroin
like,
guy, though.
Fucking, I'm about to piss and he's in there tripping balls.
No, thanks. No, I mean, I think it's invasive. It is a thing that probably permeates one's life, so I don't know if they would be hanging out with just anybody.
Have you dropped E or done any, like, more, like, intense?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I
have,
oh,
whoa.
Yeah. I mean,
can
well,
you
know
disclose that with this clean imagery of yours?
I don't know. Yeah, we're comedians. I feel like it's fine. I don't know. I mean, you know, like, any... It is big for, you know, the whole, like, people who go to raves and things. So I feel like it's kind of common among people.
So have you been to a rave and dropped?
I have... yeah, I have. And, like, I don't really normally. I just have done it one time. I did it kind of, like, recently. Yeah, it was fun.
Well, recently.
Kind of. I did it, like, in New York.
Did you have lockjaw? Like, were you, like, no.
Well, you just get... Yeah, I used to get a little bit of that stuff. But, no, it's fine. It was fine. All that stuff is... But, you know, I don't do that regularly at all. And it's all very...
How often alcohol now? Is that a daily thing?
Question.
Glass
no,
of wine
no.
a night?
I try not to do that.
No?
I think, well, I'm very lightweight regardless.
Yeah.
And, like, I think even just a glass of wine would be, like, too much for
me.
Yeah,
you get turned up.
Because it's probably
off
for somebody else, it's, like, two, you know? So, I don't know, weekends, I guess. And, like, even
weekend
then,
warrior.
I know it's not that.
Do you like to go out on the week? Are you, like, a bar person, social person?
I try to, because I feel like that's kind of, you know, try to stay social and, like, see people. LA's kind of hard because it's so spread out. I'm
so
always like, oh,
now.
Friends. But yeah, I mean, I guess weekends. And the thing that I'm kind of trying to shy away from is, like, we do a lot of bar shows, and sometimes they give you drink tickets, and then I would just sort of, like, get a beer every time. But then I just decided, yeah, maybe that's, like, not the best way to do stuff, because then I kind of, like, I don't know, it's like it's also maybe like a health thing, and like, it's like, well, maybe I'll spend those calories on something else, you know, not to be like a freak, but I feel like that's kind of important.
I,
sometimes.
I'm like that guy who's like, you know, I get my drink tickets, and then I, do you got any more drinks after I use three of them, and then I take your ticket?
Sure, no, I mean, I would give my ticket away. But no, I've gotten multiple, because sometimes other comedians are like, oh, I'm 7 years sober. I'm like, okay, well, fucking don't drink then.
Yeah.
I'll take your ticket. But
well, it's
yeah.
hard when you get free drinks, you know?
Oh, totally. I
all
mean,
the time. And
even still, I'll probably still do the free drink thing. I think I was also like, even at a bar where you didn't get drink tickets, I would like be like, oh, I'm here, I might as well just get a beer. But then it's like, you know, it adds up financially too, so kind of stopped. But I don't know. But yeah, I'll binge drink on the weekends, unfortunately, and that's like not healthy at all.
So binge drink is like a beer, one beer.
No, well, I guess like, you know, a couple.
But you like craft
three,
beer, right? You
I
like craft beer. You
like
craft beer, or are you like 7-Eleven, Budweiser.
No, I don't know.
No,
mean,
you live
beer.
In Echo Park.
I so.
You're probably drinking like
Saisons.
And,
but then, yeah,
oh, let
yeah,
me get your sour.
Of...
What's your fucking
yeah, oh,
sour?
I do like a good sour. That's
yeah,
fair. That's
I'm
fair.
A huge beer dude. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll drink like, I don't know. And then I like wine, so I don't know. It's all over the place. What are we doing? Then, you know, you're trying to do the, like, healthy thing. You're like, oh, just a
yeah,
vodka
you got a lot
soda.
Of good, you got a lot of good spots. I love, one of my favorite places is Mohawk Bend.
Ooh, it's so good. Yeah.
They got
I
a good
hat.
I always get their, my favorite, if you guys ever go to Mohawk Bend in Silver Lake, is the baked potato pizza. Have you had that?
Ooh, yes, I have. It's so
and their happy hour, it's only $10.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a good deal. Yeah, I gotta go. I'm pretty close to there. It's like not
Mohawk quite band. Have you done the Cosmic Vinyl? You know, there's a secret stand-up spot. You should go hit them up. It's right next to Mohawk Bend is a famous record shop called Cosmic Vinyl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've totally
And that if you go back, they throw like private comedy shows.
Cool. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that whole area is very cool. Too cool for me.
It's a little too cool.
It's a little too cool, yeah.
What sucks is it's probably... Oh, we ran out of time.
He was at Flappers for a while. Like, I think he worked there for a while, and he passed away. He, like, committed suicide as well. And he was, like... I was a little closer to him, but, like, he was, you know,
newer. He committed suicide? He was a comedian?
Yeah, this was like, a while ago. Why did he keep
committing suicide? The Bourdain thing was, like,
that, too. Yeah, that was also... I mean, it's
have like, you ever committed, contemplated suicide?
You know, no, not anywhere near, I don't think. What, you know, I think it's hard. I've had like some times where I feel a little hopeless, but I don't think that like, yeah, no, I don't think it's at that level.
I don't know if I should take Advil with beer, but ooh. I'm gonna do it anyways. It's okay.
Okay.
I'll give that to the cockroaches.
Okay. They might have headaches. Cure their headaches, yeah.
There's no cockroaches in here though. I've never seen one.
I believe you. I'll try not to drop.
You have cockroaches in your place?
I think I've seen some. We saw one, I think, one time. It was dead, but it was in the dishwasher.
Do you eat out a lot with your boyfriend? Or do you...
We try not to.
You eat at home? Do you cook? Are you a good cooker?
I cook. He's better, actually.
Yeah?
But...
Do you get all foodie with it? Like, fucking do that thing with the sauce?
Oh, nah.
I feel like they, you know, foodies, they always... I noticed there's this thing they do to make it look better. They do a sauce thing, and they do this, like this motion, where it creates this like little zigzag of sauce.
Well, mm-hmm.
And I noticed like, it's a very Echo Park thing.
They put that on top of
Yeah, every dish. Time I go to like Mohawk Bend, they got the little sauce fucking swish, swirl.
That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like a, I like to watch Top Chef.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the most beautiful dishes.
It's really, well, I come from a food background, too.
Oh.
When I was, I'm from Colorado, originally, and my dad was a restaurant mogul.
Nice.
So he owned 13 restaurants.
Whoa. That's
a lot. And he actually had two cooking schools.
Whoa.
And he had this thing where...
That's awesome.
It's a famous noodle thing where he grabs a dough and he keeps swinging it until it... all goes into like little but it's like dope. It's like I'm like, because I always thought my dad was really talented, and then I was like, what the fuck did I get from him? Because he like, I can't cook. Like, it's like he has to buy me a microwave, you know. And I realized, like, I watched like his old noodle videos. I was like, oh, that's probably where the skating came from.
Oh, okay. Because
he was doing like tricks with the noodles. Like he'd flip them and then like kick flip with the noodles and like catch them.
Yeah.
And then I was like, man, that's so cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so I grew up in like basically in back of the restaurant my whole life with my mom and my dad and he's like a former chef guy. And it's sweet because like, awesome. You know, anytime he cooks, it's like I always knew the difference between a chef and like my, like, not to say my mom was not a good cook, it was just she was very mom food. She made like sauerkraut with hot dog, like you know, just whip up dishes out of thin air, you know, like is that a dish, you know? Just like, today we're making celery with, you know, like, Spam, you know? It's like, oh, cool, you know? And it was, like, good. She made it taste good. But when my dad got involved, it was like, the fucking apple as a swan.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he would, like, we would get this meal. I was like, holy shit. Like,
the apple's a swan.
Yeah, the apple's a swan. The orange is, know, fucking got the thing. He does the swirl thing, you know? Like, and I love that aspect of chefs. I fucking respect the fuck out of a good chef with, like, creativity.
Mm.
It is a fucking art.
It is.
It's a dope art, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not till recently, because when was cooking cool? When I feel like if my dad caught on to the generation that we're in the 80s, he would have been huge. But it's like in 1980s, like no one cared. I was like, make me my food, bitch. You know, but now it's like, you know, we're seeing like chefs.
Netflix.
Bourdain and fucking, you know, it's like
chef table.
Chef table. And yeah, if Yan can cook, you can cook. That was the OG right there. Mm-hmm. If Yan can cook, you can cook.
That's right.
Yeah. How about the little kids chef battles? You ever see that on Channel 4? Oh, like, they had the little 5-year-olds going at it. Like, they're 9-year-olds. They're, like, amazing chefs.
I've watched, one time I saw the, like, Chopped Junior or whatever. Like
Chopped Junior.
And they were, like, pouring their hearts out. And they had to cut this, like, 13-year-old girl. And she was, like, I mean, it was fine. And she wasn't going to stop cooking. But it is such a, like, a devastating thing to cut a child. To criticize a child's food when they're already making food at that age, you know? It's so ridiculous.
Like, I haven't really like watched the it. Pasta was just bland. You're like, yeah, bitch, like, what the oh fuck were God, you doing at child. 9? You
yeah,
were
like, they're nicer than judges. Getting
SpaghettiOs but... out of a can.
Mm-hmm. It's hilarious.
It, you know what? It's crazy. We live in the day and age of the amazing kid. Mm-hmm. Like, even with skating, it's like, oh, really? I watch videos of these 9-year-old girls, mm-hmm. not even boys. Mm-hmm. That are, like, backflipping out of the ramp, and it's like...
Oh, gosh.
What does that set for, like, the 5-year-old who barely got his little shit helmet, and he's, like, razoring around the block? It's like, your level of expectation has just, like, shot through the roof.
Yeah. You notice that in skating. Yeah, I
dude, there's like skate moms at parks. It used to be, like, moms were, like, yeah, get away, yeah. You know, you smell like weed, you're bad.
Right.
The moms go, they put a lawn chair out. Screaming at the kid, uh-huh. Tim, let's get the rail slide. Oh, get the rail slide. Let's get those X game checks. Like, so funny. And I'm just like, bitch, get out of my way. Like, you are like in the way, and there's it's just so weird.
I believe it.
It's because I came from a subculture that was like kind of like looked down upon to being something that's embraced, and yeah. Like being a coach for a high school. It's like, Coach Wang, we're going to have a tournament. It's like, what the hell is going on? Is this Freaky Friday right now?
Like, that's what? Great, though.
Yeah.
It's like, it's...
I saw something go full circle. Like, it went, like, from bad to good, you know?
Does that feel like... Do you feel a little bit like, oh, darn, if I had just been born later? Or is it just...
No, I feel like, yes. I'm glad because I got to see its full cycle. Because... These guys that are in my, and I'm like, you, and I'm sorry, I don't want to sound like the old guy, but I'm just like, you don't understand. Like, yeah. I feel like that, like, black dude that fought through civil rights, and I got the freedom. I was like, you don't understand, like, we had to sit in back of the bus.
Right, and like.
You know, and I watched this thing that, and you guys are complaining.
Sure.
You know, you have to realize how awesome that you get this. You get this mm-hmm. program. Like, because they don't want to wear... My guys don't want to wear helmets. Like, helmets are gay to skaters. Like, they hate helmets.
Uh-huh.
And apparently, I hate them too, but I'm working for the education.
Right.
Safety is risk management and all this crap.
Oof. Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, wear the freaking helmet, dude. And a lot of them, you know, decided not to, and I got in trouble, so... You know, I had to tell them, like, you don't understand, like, to even have a program like this... The helmet is just a very small sacrifice.
Right.
You know, straight up told them, I go, guys, if you don't wear the helmet, I'm going to get fired and we're not going to have this. So don't wear the helmet and then see what happens tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
So now they're all wearing helmets.
Good.
You know, but it's like, I've not even been put in this position to talk like this.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's this whole new reality I'm experiencing. It feels very like the movie Role Models. Like, I always think of that movie when I go into work. Like,
that's so funny.
Yeah,
I can picture that. That's funny.
I feel like there needs to be a fucking rough draft of somewhat of a comedy movie.
About
skate class.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah,
that would be great. Especially what you said about, like, there being skate moms now. Like,
skate moms?
You know, it takes the total punk rock aspect out of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they ruined the punk rock. The only thing punk rock is the helmet with the mohawk and the kid on the razor. And he's annoying because they always have two kids. Mm-hmm. There's one kid, he's kind of good, and then there's that annoying razor one they can't control. Yeah. And he's just getting in everyone's way.
Sure, yeah.
And it's like, you're a shitty parent. She's doing nothing to tell him, like, hey, get away from the fucking box, you know? I have, like, a legion of upset guys who are, like, being constantly snaked by the Mohawk helmet kid. And the mom's just there on the lawn chair, just, like, red from the sun. Aww. You know, like, get out of here. I don't know. I love it and I hate it. It's just funny.
It's evolved. It's different.
That is speaking funny. Of punk rock, do you have any tattoos or piercings or any, like...
Nothing interesting. I,
would you ever get a...
regular earring piercings.
Would you ever get a tattoo? Would you ever contemplate a tattoo?
I, like, always joke about it, but I honestly don't know if I would, because I don't know if I think... I don't know if I've thought about what I'd want definitely for a long time enough for me to make it permanent.
Get the boyfriend. Portrait of the boyfriend.
Right.
Would you do that?
No.
Would you ever get his name?
No.
What would your parents say if you went home with a sleeve? Like your whole arm sleeved up. Would they be pissed?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think my mom was always pretty anti-tattoo, so maybe she drilled it into my head. Like, she let us dye our hair in high school and stuff, so I had blue hair for a little bit.
Does your boyfriend tattoos?
No. Because he, like, yeah, I guess he's not really into that either, but, like, I think his mom actually has a lot of tattoos.
Did you meet him in Harvard?
Yeah.
Jesus. And you guys moved back down here?
Yeah.
Was he computer science dude too?
No. He studied like economics and stuff. So.
That's cool. But so what is he doing now?
Different. He's working for a company that's based in London. It's called Monzo. It's like a mobile bank.
Oh.
So it's kind
mobile bank.
Yeah. So it's like the future of banking.
It's like an app. Does he go into an office every
day? He actually doesn't have to because he works remotely. So I think that's
so he works at home.
Tough. Yeah, I think that's tough.
You work at home too?
A lot, yeah.
So like you're constantly around each other?
Kind of, yeah.
Does it ever get like sickening?
Kind of. I mean, you know, it's tough. It's like, oh yeah, I know when I start to like snap, I'm like, oh, it's probably because we need to like take.
We
some
need
time
to like
actually be human beings.
Decompress.
Yeah. So.
And that's when you go out of town hit the bar.
Hit the bar. Yeah. If he like, he'll go out of town for work sometimes, and then also, you know. Comedy sometimes leave town or have a job that'll take me away from the apartment for a little bit, so it's fine, but I'd say I do notice that it does take its toll sometimes.
It's hard. I never understood those couples that like they work together and they live together. I'm like, mother, really?
My parents worked together.
That's so too much.
And I think
my parents did
lot.
Too.
Okay,
it's a
yeah,
lot.
Right.
So, you know what I watch? Like, love being.
Business too, right?
Oh, yeah. When the business. It That's sucks hard. Because, like, you just see the love just suck the fuck out. Like,
sure.
Because
they can't.
It's
got,
so
got
business
that,
and straightforward. And I can't even, like, did you guys ever, like, hold hands or make out? Like,
I mean, it's hard, too, because I'm not sure if it's, like, an Asian parent modesty thing or, like, if it's because they work together. You know what I mean? Because
I think
know
it's
Asian
both.
Parents don't necessarily show too much affection. But
have you, uh-huh. I don't want to say this, but have you ever caught your parents?
No.
I'm going to say this right now. This is almost like one of those memories you try to forget.
Sure, I mean, that is...
It was very scarring, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm going to reveal it here because you're here.
Okay, I'm ready.
So I one night, I came home. I think it was, like, one of these days where they thought I was supposed to go out of town, but I...
Yeah.
It got canceled. And I remember just going home and hearing my dad, like, sex talk.
Nice.
And here, the bed... And it was so fucking, like,
I'm sorry.
How would you say, traumatizing.
Yeah, that's pretty traumatizing.
I remember just locking the door and then sleeping out of, and acting like I left the whole time.
Oh, wow, nice, uh-huh.
But it was just like, but then I realized, like, fuck, they're human, you know?
Sure,
it's like,
yeah, I mean, of course,
but it's
you're
gross.
Here.
Yeah,
do you have something?
Like, I didn't even know that was in my mom until I was like, whoa, what the, like, I didn't know she had that in her.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, because that's the side of them we don't see, you know?
And it's weird when you see it, but then you realize when you have kids, it's going to be weird for them.
Hard. You got to figure out how to, you know.
Yeah.
Sidestep that.
I don't know.
It's a weird situation.
It's a very
weird situation. It's funny though. I like to. And the stories are always very funny.
My friend, I have this friend. She's from Philly. She's one of those like straight up. Whatever's on her mind, you know, she'll say what's on her mind, And so I used to be in the tattoo convention where we would see very good-looking women with, like, very nasty-looking guys, but they were great artists.
Okay.
But it was, like, 10 girl, 2 guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And every time we would, they would come to our booth and, like, buy stuff, she'd, like, whisper me, like, I can't believe, like, she lets him inside of her. Like, even though we think he's nasty, like, there's someone out there who's letting him inside of her. Like, he's inside of her. Like, how is that possible? And then I was just like, the way she said inside of someone made me think, like...
Yeah, yeah.
It is insane that we're inside of someone. We're, like, inside... Am I, like... I don't know. And I think that reminded me, like, the mom and dad hearing it.
Sure.
And then the kids with the cum thing. It's just
I mean, sex is weird.
It's a weird thing because it's so not talked about, but it's so, like, obvious, you know?
Sure. Yeah, especially that. Once you don't talk about something, it makes it even more powerful, right? Like,
do you incorporate any sex shit into your acts ever, like, remotely?
I had to one time. I can't remember why. Oh, yeah. I did this, like, fun show where basically the premise was, like, you get a topic and a style, and then you, like, do that. So it's sort of supposed to be, like, Chopped. I bring up Chopped so much, but I don't even watch it. Chopped, where you get ingredients for a set, and then you make it up kind of that day, and then you bring it to the stage. So, like, I had to do this show, and Chopped, the last one, the last round was, like, talk about storytelling style and, like, talk about your losing your virginity. So I did it then. And, like, wasn't
you talked about losing your virginity?
Like, that was the topic, yeah. So we had to, like, each of us talked about losing our virginity.
Is this Last Comic Standing?
This was just, like, a show in the Comedy Store. Like, wasn't televised or anything.
Okay, was this, but they gave you time to prepare for it.
Yeah, they gave us, like, a couple days. We all wrote it, like, an hour before class, right? So, so then I guess I talked about sex then, but I really don't. I think I just, like, am too uncomfortable with it. And then also it's not too, like, at the moment I'm in, like, a long-term relationship, like, I don't have a lot of fun stories to be like, haha, then this one night stand is like,
yeah,
this. You know what I mean? So
well,
I don't really,
you know, I don't care about one night stands as so much as, like, how after, like, someone's been with someone for so long
excuse me, yeah,
does that die out, or is that, like, a thing that you have to, like, keep up,
like
just a just healthy sex. Oh, sex life.
I,
like,
mean, yeah, I guess it's, like, it's going to be different than, you know, anything else. Like, everybody always talks about, like, once you get married, that, like, it
how necessary is it after, like, 5 years? Does it just become, like, background music? Or does it, is it, like, something that...
Like, has sex become background
music? Yeah, like, does it, do you just get numb to it? Like, I mean, because I know for me, I was with my longest, after 2 years, we just tapped out. It was like...
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah.
It was like, it never happened, ever. And we just hung out all the time. And...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, you know, it's probably, like, in waves. I don't know. I feel weird talking about it. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it's, like, always going to be different than, you know, I don't know, the first few months or whatever, right?
Do you foresee a marriage or anything? Are you, like... Are you, like, propose to me, dude? Like, is that in your head?
I feel like I'm gonna sneeze, but then I keep not sneezing. Not really in my head. I'm just kind of, like, I never envisioned myself to get married young. And I call this young, but I guess, like, some people get married earlier, so who knows. But I always thought it would be, like, down the line, and I think career-wise and financially, like, I'm not in a place where...
Think about marriage.
Yeah, thinking about that, but then we've been together for so long, too, that I'm not, like, totally... That was unexpected, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but I'm not nudging him or anything, I would say. Yeah, I'm definitely...
Like, what does he think about your comedy? Is he a big supporter?
Yeah. I would say he's a supporter.
Does he, like, ever help with tags and stuff?
Or? You know, he doesn't... I don't really, like, share that stuff with him too much. I think I just sort of, like, work it out on my own. Because that's how I always knew to. Like, I obviously started before.
I don't like to share it with
people. Like, I started before I met him. So, like, I even have trouble, like, working out stuff with friends.
Wait, you started before you met... So, he met you as a stand-up comedian?
Yeah.
Oh, did he did you meet through that or through?
He knew that about me, but no, he didn't meet through that. Like, we were just...
Oh, so he knew about the stand-up.
But he did, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
So, hey. Like, did he go to your shows? Was he, like, a secret fan?
He came to a few maybe when we were still, like, kind of early where it was like, ooh, he might be coming to this one, you know what I mean? But, like, I was never intimidated with that because I think for girls, too, like, oh, man, it's so different, I think, for girls doing stand-up. Like,
okay.
Odds are guys gonna get scared away, you know? So if the guy's already interested in me and he knows I do stand-up, like, I'm not worried about it. But, like, it's definitely, like, I think with guys, it's sometimes the reverse where guys are like, ooh, I impress her with my stand-up, and then we date, right?
Mm,
but, like,
that's
I don't
true.
Feel that way about...
Oh, you don't feel like your stand-up's impressing?
No, because I feel like if anything, like, I just, like, they'll not like it. So, I mean, just, like, just be like, I'm the funny one. You know what I mean? Like, all this bullshit if they're shitty like that. But hopefully
is he
not.
Funny, though? Is he...
He yeah. is really funny. So, like, that's necessary for me. But I also, it's not, like, super... It wasn't necessary at the time. I think, like, also, we have now, like, the same exact type of humor because we're literally, like, living on top of each other.
You have, like,
so.
Echo Park humor?
We have Echo Park, Morton Avenue humor. Oh, God. No, it's just, like, really... I don't know. He has a specific... style, and I feel like, you know, the same thing happens with friends when you hang out with a person for a long time.
You just get
just
to
get
know
the same humor as them, that. And it's funny stuff.
So tell me about you were on Last Comic Standing, right?
Yeah.
What did you get to the end, or what was
no,
your?
No, not at all. So this was like 2015, I think.
Did you audition for that? Did you do that whole
did.
Like? I always hear stories like you drove to San Diego, you
oh,
sleep
I
on
see.
The street. Did you
that
do that
one? So our season, we didn't have to do that. I can't. So basically. The season before ours, they, like, totally changed the game. Like, they got
this
new
This is the
producers.
One where Roseanne was a judge, right?
Yeah. So okay. Roseanne was a judge. They had new producers, so they basically did it by inviting people to be the first 100 to try out. So it wasn't, like, line up and cattle call. It was, like, we got, like, I got a message, and then they're like, here, come audition. So through that audition, which I did and was set up, I didn't have to wait. It was, like, set up at the improv. I did that, and then they called and said, okay, we want to televise you, which means that's, like... you're gonna be on that stage and shit. So then that was taped, and then I just did it the first round, and then I got cut. So like it was 100 of us, and then they cut it down to like 60.
But you got airtime though.
I did, yeah.
That's
so that
sick.
Was really lucky.
Yeah,
because they didn't have to do that.
And I think you probably definitely stood out.
I was young. I was 20, so they were like, oh my god, you're in college.
So yeah. What okay did that help your like, when you did that help to boost your followings? And
after that, yeah. I mean, I was still, like, in college, so it was kind of...
What do you think helped you catapult you the most in terms of, like, getting a large fan base? Or
oh, well, I don't know. I don't have a large fan base.
I mean, you
I
have,
mean,
you
I
have
think
20...
YouTube videos, for sure.
Is that what you're... You have your own channel?
That one, no, but I have that one, like, Laugh Factory video that they put out, like, ages ago, but that has helped me a lot, and I have... So I'm thankful for them for that. I have a... Well, and then now, like, you know, any sort of things, I have my Instagram now and that.
Well, yeah, no, because you have, you know, you have, at least you have a K in your numbers and following.
I think that, a lot of that is from, like, stand-up clips that circulated on Instagram and stuff.
So. I always wondered because, like, I have 4 videos on YouTube that are, like, that went viral.
Yeah, yeah.
But none of it trickled over at all.
I mean, I think
and I was
on
the
Instagram...
I was on the forefront of those YouTube videos.
Yeah,
like it wasn't
yeah.
like I was like a I was like the main guy.
Yeah,
but it was
yeah.
like I realized there was no anything to tell them where to follow me.
No, yeah, on YouTube.
Yeah, it was the YouTube.
Because they would have to look you up on Instagram.
So they never...
So maybe some people, but I wonder, like, what if you took some of those videos and you made them into an Instagram video and you posted it yourself?
I think I want to just probably create my own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And try to have things trickle
upload
over.
Your own YouTube videos. Yeah.
Then so that definitely is in the works.
That'll help for sure. Because I don't think people are patient enough to, you know.
Yeah, search you.
Go on Instagram and do that, yeah.
Yeah, because, I saw that, you know, you have a good following on Instagram.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of funny. It's like I don't really...
Well, I think what's cool is it's effortless with you, you know? I feel like you did your thing, you took your risk, you did these videos, and, you know, the people just received, and, like, you have a little extra something, I think, to offer people to to want to follow you.
It's always an interesting thing. Like, sometimes you just worry, like, am I putting in all this hard work for anything? But I mean,
honestly, those numbers that you see, and that's what tells you why you should.
It's always good to get, you know, the response, even though we shouldn't do it for that. But, you know,
you are doing it for that, because without people, what the hell are we doing it for? Right? You know, like, we need people, and the more people, the more, you know, shows we get to sell, tickets and stuff like that.
I know. Yeah, it's important.
You know, when I got into stand-up, honestly, I took 2 years of, I just needed extra credit in college. This is what happened. Like, I went through a really bad stretch of my life where, you know, things went really bad, and I was like, I'm just going to go back to school.
Cool.
It's my only option. Yeah. I want to go back to school and do good. I was always bad, you know, and I didn't have any direction. So I go back to school, enroll in PCC, and I start doing great. I take acting classes. I'm fucking doing good in the acting classes. A friend of mine told me about LA Casting. Mm. So I go on there, and right out the gate, I book like a national Sprite ad.
Nice.
And then I get this national PSA ad. Mm-hmm. And it was just because I felt like what I was bringing to the table was like a sense of like a realness about me. And I was also Asian American guy who skated. And like that at the time was like something that they wanted, you know? So I was like, oh my God, this is cool. Like, I made $10,000 for taking a fake picture skating, you know, like, and now I'm getting like notoriety from people in high school, from people like, in my family members in Taiwan, because the billboard, I did this thing for Sprite, and it was like, it was everywhere.
No way. That's so cool. I love it.
And so, and then this PSA went national in America. So it was like a government ad. Mm-hmm. So it was on payphones, it was on bus benches, it was mass marketing. So I had ex-girlfriends like, is this you, in their Cosmo while they're at work getting their hair done? And I was just like, holy shit, like, I didn't even realize, like, you know, taking that leap of faith. So then I was just like, but that didn't complete me at all. Mm. I was like, oh, this is cool, but what, it's not.
Right.
So then I they offered stand-up comedy as extra credit. And then I took the stand-up class. And then after you graduate, you have to perform at a real club, which is the Ice House. So I performed the Ice House. The manager likes my set. the booker, and he says, do you want to do Comedy Juice? Mm-hmm. Go, okay.
Yeah.
I go to Comedy Juice. I do the set. And then that's it. They record it. And I didn't do stand-up. I just stopped. I was like, okay, cool. Took the class. Great. And then a year later, they, like, it takes a while, right? Like, 6 months later, they post the clip. Oh. And then it got, like, 50,000 views out the gate. Uh-huh. So it was, like, that was what made me realize, like, if the numbers show that was funny, then there's probably something there.
Cool.
And I was just saying this is to relate to you, is that, like, your numbers and these people that are like half a million, you know, whether or not 500,000 is great or bad, it's still 500,000 people that are interested in seeing like what Sierra's comedy is all about.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like I honestly, like, I met you the first time, I think it was the Laugh Factory, and I kind of had this feeling about you too, that it was like, you know, you had a little extra something. So, you know, I just think that, you know, I think there's a lot of great things for you on the horizon.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It means so much. I mean, it's, you know, like what we do, I love that story, because it is sort of like you do need that validation a little bit, especially at the beginning, because we don't really,
we don't know.
I mean, some people, they maybe know, I don't know, but for sure, I mean, having like a video of an early stand-up set that, like, you didn't necessarily, you hadn't been doing it very long at all, and then it blows up like that means a lot. And
it means a lot, and also reinforces a lot. And I, Angela Johnson, like, I followed her career, and I knew her opener, and, like, I read an interview where she once said, you know, when her 5-minute nail salon bit went big, she went viral, and she was getting booked across the country, and she's like, I was being thrown into these shows with real comedians who had, like, 20 minutes... And she was like, I was just there to do my little routine. And she didn't know what the game was about. She didn't know, like, she didn't understand the craft and the culture as much and took it as serious as the others. So it was like, she had to kind of learn that.
Yeah, yeah.
As she went along. Uh-huh. And, you know, sometimes comedy, I feel like, it finds you. True. You know, sometimes, like, comedy chooses you. Like, like whether you want it to like it or not, it's like, you gotta do this, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah, I totally forgot about that nail salon bit. That was so
Yeah, bad. You like, gotta, you gotta do, you're way too funny or talented, or you have this unique point of view that the world needs to see, like, and, you know, I think, you're, like, one of those people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you. You are too, man. I remember watching. I mean, I told you this already, but I remember seeing you at the Ice House, I think, a lot before you knew me, but you're great.
Oh, thank you.
Still are, of course. It's just fun to make that full circle, like, because we had our Ice House show recently.
I'm just, I'm, like, ready right now. Like, I just want to, March 28th, I'm doing the Crazy Woke thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Santa Monica Playhouse.
And for me, it's, like, cool because I'm actually taking this real serious. I got, like, a director to film it.
Yeah.
And normally, like, I'm super lax. Like, I could go my whole life doing what I do and, like, die and be cool. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, nice.
Like, I just love life. I love, like, being in the moment. I don't want to worry too much about this. You know, some people, they're aiming so far ahead for this thing that they miss everything in between.
Sure.
Like, every day is a fucking day you get to be alive.
Uh-huh.
So you might as well, like, make that life happen with things that you enjoy. Because after losing my mom, after losing Danny, after losing, like, you know, a lot of people I really loved, like, I realized the meaning to life is everything, those experiences.
Yeah.
And, I think this, I don't know why I'm getting so crazy with this, but I just feel like, you know, this thing I'm doing, this 1 hour, it's about my dad and my relationship after my mom passed. Oh. And like, showing, like, you know, all these quirky little things he did to try to save her life. And sometimes, like, you know, the sad part was, like, he really thought he could save her with these things, and it didn't happen that way, but through that, it made me realize, like, the real importance of life.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's like that relationship I have with him. Like, it's that relationship that you have with people. It's that these connections you make. And I just, and then that's why I'm, like, taking it serious, because it's like just a message I want to send people, you know, like.
Yeah.
It's fucking comedy, it's funny, I mean, but, like, let there be some truth and pain and comedy, like, and everything that comes together, where people can walk out and be like, you know, that was, you know, inspiring or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's what makes it, you know, if you have that message underneath, I think that's
I've always loved comedy, like,
right.
Yeah, like, you know, comedy formulas were always, like, Adam Sandler movies, where you take the lovable loser.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, he's just amount to nothing, and then he's got a role that's larger than life, and he's got to step up to the plate, and he does. And it always ends with this, like, happy fucking ending, where we all, like, I love happy endings. I hate fucked up endings in movies.
Where
you go home and you're like, you have to Google shit and you're pissed.
Sure, yeah.
You know, like, I personally like the cheesy, happy, fucking Mighty Ducks, they win.
Yeah, I expect this.
It makes me feel good. Why do I want to go home feeling shitty? Like,
no,
I watched The Prodigy, and it's about, like, some fucked up kid, and he wins. And I went home and I was like, fuck that kid, dude. So many great people, like, everyone who was good died, and he's like, he's laughing with the knife, and it's like, I have to go home thinking about him winning, like, I don't know. Hilarious. I don't know.
That's but, not my kind of, I also like happy endings, yeah, you know, but yeah, I mean, I think that's so great, because with a, with comedy and stuff, you do kind of worry past a certain point about, like, well, you know, if I'm not saying what I want to say, then, like, what is the point? Because, you know, you want to get people to laugh, but then, like, everybody can write a good joke, right? Everyone can write a good joke. So it's kind of like, okay, well, what else can you bring to the table? And I think that sounds like you found it, you know?
Do you know Duncan Trussell?
I do, yeah. Uh-huh.
So I was doing on stage 2. He was doing the main room, the Joe Rogan night, and we were back there, you know, pacing. I was about to go in, he was about to go in the room. And then we had this quick talk, and he goes, you know, there's a lot of people out there doing comedy, but you just gotta stand for something, man.
Yeah.
You gotta just, you know, like, what are you trying to say, man? And I was like, dude, he's kind of right. Like,
oh, totally. Yeah. That's very, I feel like, his style of...
Yeah, I was like, I want to... And at that time, I was just doing these, like, shitty, like... Just, you know, just get them to laugh shit. You know, it didn't really resonate with me. It was just like, and,
And that's okay too. Cause I feel like sometimes I just hit ruts where I'm like, I don't have anything to say. But then, cause I'm not always going to have anything to say, but then, you know, if you land on something good, then it's
But like, that's what I love about comedy. It's like you said, it's like Anthony Jeselnik isn't meaningful, but sure, guess what? His shit is dark. It's hilarious. Yeah, and like, sometimes people just want to laugh. We don't need the touching story and shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And like, even he's able to weave in some meaning into all that stuff that he does, you know. I think there's still, like, his latest special, I felt like there was Thoughts and Prayers. It was like, basically the moral was like, you know, when people are cracking jokes about stuff that maybe people take offensively, or you
is
know,
this
that,
Duncan Trussell's
it's special? Sorry, this is the Jeselnik special. Okay, it's called Thoughts and Prayers. It's like, he was like, the yeah, at the end he basically said, like, I tell these jokes because I'm just trying to make people laugh, and if I'm telling a joke about something tragic that happened and people laugh, then at least something good came of that tragedy. It's not trying to offend, like, the parents of the people or, like, the, you know, family members of the people. Those people are not listening to this special. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, those people are busy fucking mourning, you know? So, I mean, I felt like it actually had a meaning to it at the end, which was very fascinating because he is such a normal, like, one-liner.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was his last special, right?
That was his last special, yeah.
Yeah. I think I forgot that part, but...
That was, like, the second half, so... It was, like, the first half was all his, you know, jokes and quips, and then, like, the second half was him being, like, oh, by the way, this is, like, why I do what I do, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know.
So, do you have any, like, dates coming up or anything, or...?
Oh, well, I'm starting a show with a pal, and I think our first... show is
like a,
just a live comedy.
Live
stand-up
show.
Just a live stand-up show.
Oh, sick.
Our first date that we have set is the 20th of March, and it's gonna be
that?
In Koreatown at a new bar called Laces.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Laces,
it's
March 20th, what time?
I think 8.
And
I'll post on my Instagram.
And who's the pal?
My comedian friend Matt Torkelson.
Oh, cool.
He's super funny, and then we have we're doing kind of like a trial run, so we'll see how the sound works and everything there, and then hopefully we'll make it into a
Is it just you two, or is it...
It's we're hosting, and then we have, like, some friends, some,
featured,
like,
comics.
Comedians.
Oh, cool, so that's March 20th?
March 20th.
Mm-hmm. And then, they can follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram, Twitter.
Sierra Cato.
Sierra Cato, yeah.
Cato. Is that how you said it? Cato?
Cato, yeah.
That's the right way. Do you know any Japanese?
People? Yeah.
No, do you speak anything?
Oh, do I know the Japanese language? Yeah. No, I don't. But then I've been taking it on Duolingo.
Oh, so you kind of have some.
So I'm trying to learn it, but
so
I really don't.
Can you say anything right now? Like,
I'm not going to embarrass
like
myself.
Like an outro in Japanese?
No.
You can't say, watashi wa joji desu, or...
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm sorry.
That's good.
I'll, you know, maybe give me some more months on Duolingo.
I speak Chinese.
It really doesn't do much.
My Chinese
is
fucking bad.
That's amazing. I would love to learn Chinese, but
it's
just
so bad that, like, they laugh at me the way, like,
we would. I mean, everyone.
Like, my accent's funny to them.
For repeating things back.
Like, if I go, like, xiaojie, like, I'll go to this restaurant, hey, let me get some bing sui, xiaojie, bing sui, hurry up, you know, and they're just giggling. Well,
that's not the most reassuring way to respond to somebody.
But at least I'm making them laugh, so whatever.
Yes,
I'm doing my job.
That's comedian,
why
even
we're
when
comedians.
Uh-huh.
And I really want to thank you for coming all the way from Echo Park.
Oh, yeah, of course. Not too bad.
Echo Park actually pretty close off the 60.
Yeah, compared to like the rest of LA.
It's really sometimes close. You get those podcasts are like, I'm in the Imperial Valley. Okay, well let's do a live Skype then.
Sure. Yeah. I will not do that. yeah.
Let's just do a live conference call around 10.
Perfect.
But dope. So Sierra Coteau on Twitter, Katow.
Yeah, it's spelled like Katow.
KATOW.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And Sierra, like Sierra Nevada, Sierra Electronic. Yeah. Sierra.
Electronic. Oh, yeah. Mist.
Sierra Mist.
Yeah.
What else? Sierra. Was there a car, like a Ford Sierra?
Yeah, I think there's
a Sierra. Oh, there is a Sierra.
Yeah.
A fucking Honda Sierra, like a, dude.
Yeah, it's like a van.
Or some shit. Just Sierra. And super awesome. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm hosting Ladies Night March 7th.
Oh, yeah, that's another show.
For my friend Mona at the Caspian Theater. Or Caspian Theater. Sounds like it would be a theater. But it's a Persian restaurant in Irvine. And you can look that up on my Instagram. It's going to be March 7th. It's going to be Asian Ladies Night. Although, is everyone there Asian?
I think so.
You know what's weird? Every time there's those Asian nights, there's always those debates of like, you're Asian? South Pakistani. And like, no, that's I'm Asian. Asian.
Everybody, well, it's like Asia.
So it's going to be Ladies Asian Night, which is for all you fucking white guys with the, you know, that want to get, that weird fetish.
Not what we want to be selling.
But we have a lot of killers on that show, including her.
Yay.
So I hope you guys can make it. And I guess we're going to get out to the song that we originally planned.
Sick.
Which is, Sierra said her and her parents like country. What were we going to play? Country Road?
Yeah.
Do your parents really like that song? Did they?
I have no idea if they like it, but I think we listened to it.
Okay. Is there any song that they like?
Oh, or? I don't know. I mean, that's a good song. I can't think of anything right now. So,
okay,
it's
well,
as good as it gets.
Here we go. We're going to get out to this. I'm only doing this because this is like a very popular song within the Asian road trip community.
Almost heaven, West Virginia.
I know there's people here that are here. This is a great song, like, if you're going through like the Seminole Valley. You throw this shit on.
Older than the trees, younger than. Take me home.